Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, Tuesday, December 11th, 2013. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Lots of things to talk about today. Let's get started right away. It's Wednesday, I said that. Wednesday afternoon, December 11th, 2013. I love to be corrected. I just test everyone to see if anybody's, if everyone is paying attention.
Yeah,
that's
you're gonna,
why I do that. Are you paying attention?
You're going to accuse me of not listening because I didn't correct you?
There. Anyway, let's move right along. We've got gold today. Pulling back a little bit, 890 today at 1254. Yesterday is probably a little bit of short covering to make it go higher. Silver down 10 at 2043, still above the $20 level. You have the platinum down a buck at 1390. Palladium doesn't know which direction it wants to go in, $742. The USDX today still trading down 80.09, 79.89. Crude oil took a little bit of a hit today, 97.42, down a point. And the DJIA, the Dow Jones, that was down 129. You know what? I'm so sick of it. It just cracks me up. The U.S. stocks ended sharply lower for concerns that the Fed stimulus could be tapered soon. You know, I mean, they've been doing this for over a year now. And ever since they started it, it was taper on, taper off, taper on, taper off. It's like, oh, my God, get a life. The Dow is down 129 points at 15,843. The NASDAQ down 56, 4,003. The S&P down 20 at 1782. 10-year yield was up 0.05 at 2.84. They had some auctions today on the 10-year yield. From what I heard, they weren't all that hot and having a little bit of trouble getting those sold. Don't have the final numbers there, but we did have 10-year auctions today. So, but it is interesting to see that the dollar index is still down below 80, and we'll just see how this all plays out. I mean, I'm not jumping to any conclusions and saying, oh, this is the end, and here we are, and finally, and so forth. However, you know, folks, it does get a day closer each time we have a program. And if you don't do anything about it, and I know a lot of you, you just, you know, are just so preoccupied for, you know, the stock market being high, your statements are looking good, and, you know, that you have more private investors in the market this year than for a very long time. So, you know what, when they get in, you know, it's time to get out. So, what say you, Al?
I say I'm looking at 17 indicators again on the screen, Dow Jones and NASDAQ and U.S. dollar index and crude oil and precious metals, and 16 of them are in the red. There's only one that's not in the red, and that's palladium, which is dead flat. It's the same as it was yesterday. Hasn't gone up or down. It's interesting, you know, when you see this in theory, if people are moving out of one investment and it's going down, they are simultaneously moving into another investment and it's going up. It's interesting when we have these days where virtually everything goes down. We catch them once in a while. They happen once in a while, and they're always kind of surprising. And they may not be, you know, profound. They may not be prophetic. Doesn't mean the world's coming to an end and the rest of that sort of thing. But it is odd. So I'm interested. I like these little odd moments in market history.
And it certainly is odd. And, you know, we talk about the fundamentals of the various sectors and who has the fundamentals and who doesn't have the fundamentals. And we certainly know that the fundamentals for the U.S. Stock market is the Federal Reserve. And, of course, you know, with them buying the bonds, of course, it makes people want to go into shares. And, you know, we see the markets go up. And so, yes, we've seen a lot of weakness in gold. And I found the articles, fairly good articles, about the war at the end of the dollar. It was printed almost 2 years ago. But what was interesting about it, Alan, and is that it was actually written by the article Gibson's Paradox and the Gold Standard by Robert B. Barsky and Larry Summers, mm-hmm. in the Journal of Political Economy. And they showed that the price of gold was inversely correlated to interest rates. And since gold is not industrially consumed in significant quantities, the price of gold changes relative to the value of major currencies. Now, this isn't all earth-shattering news, but the implication of this Gibson's paradox was that the interest rates could remain low as long as the price of gold did not rise.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about why they want to hit gold so hard. You cannot have the rest of their little system work with higher gold prices. It doesn't work. And so they suppress it until everything else falls apart, and then gold will regain its continued bull market. And we have a little pullback. We always have a little pullback. And, you know, we certainly had gold hit this year, and a lot of people fell out of favor. They don't like it. They went into paper because of it. And that's the worst thing that you can do. You know, gold is a long-term investment, gold and silver. You buy it, you continue to accumulate it, because we haven't had that rainy day yet. And the rainy day is coming, and it's going to be far more severe than a rainy day.
Thank you, Mrs. Moses.
Yes.
Or excuse me, not Mrs. Moses, Mrs. Noah. That's the kind of rainy day we can expect. We're not going to see a rainy day. We're going to see a deluge.
Yes.
And we're going to see more water than a lot of people can imagine, believe, and in some cases, survive. We're going to be a difficult situation. I'd like to see that article that Summers wrote, and when the program's over, just if you would send me the link. I want to just say something about it now while I'm still thinking about it. I'd like to see that article.
You know,
because
there's
it really is insightful, and it offers a... I'd like to read it.
And it also says if interest rates could remain low without causing an accelerating increase in the CPI, as had happened in the 70s, the money supply could be expanded indefinitely.
Well,
so these are the measures that they do. This is how they micromanage.
And when they say the money could be expanded indefinitely, the money supply could be expanded indefinitely, they are talking about QE1, QE2, the twister, and QE3. Right? They are expanding the money indefinitely so long as they can hold down the price of gold. And that's a powerful article. I'd really like to read that because I think it's something I'd like to read and comment. I'd like to write on it, comment on it myself or whatever here before we're done. But that's important insight, very important insight. You're talking about the problem with the stocks and the relationship between the stock market and quantitative easing. I have an article here from Michael Snyder where he's talked about it, and simply his headline is, "How far will stocks fall this time when the Fed decides to slow down quantitative easing?" And he points out that during quantitative easing 1, the Standard & Poor 500 rose by about 300 points. All right, I think it rose, I don't have the number right in immediately in front of me. It's further down the article. I think it means that it rose from 900, 800 to added 300 points. It's a big jump. It's not like 300 points on the Dow Jones. This is 300 points on the Standard & Poor 500, which is, what is it today, Melody?
On which?
The Standard & Poor's 500. Do you have it?
The S&P?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it.
Yeah, I know.
Weren't you paying attention? 1782.
1782. So you can see the 300 points out of 1,800 points. That's a big jump.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he goes on and he says, during QE2, the Standard & Poor S&P 500 rose by about 200 points. Not as much, but still a significant jump. During quantitative easing 3, the Standard & Poor has risen by about 400 points. But he goes on later in the article and he points out that when the market has ended, when each round of quantitative easing has ended, there's been a substantial stock market correction. And he has a graph here, and he points out that after quantitative easing 1, Standard & Poor's rose 42% from 2008 to 2010. But then there was an 11% correction. It lost 11%. Quantitative easing 2 started up, rose 24% from November of 2010 to June of 2011. Then there was a 14% fall, correction, at the end of when they terminated quantitative easing 2. Now, Operation Twist caused a 20% increase in the Standard and Poor's 500, but as soon as they ended, there was a 6% correction. And the question is now, under QE3, Standard & Poor's is up 16%. And the question is, how far will it go and how far will it correct in the after, when they eventually terminate QE3, which pretty much they're going to have to do. Well, the point in all of this is that the Federal Reserve is caught between a rock and a hard place. When the Fed does not ultimately decide... when the Fed does decide to taper, all right, whenever they do that, could be the first quarter next year, could be second, who knows when it's going to happen, the consequences are likely to be dramatic for the financial market. When QE3 slows down or ends, what is likely to cause the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries to rise substantially. That would have a whole negative host of negative consequences on the U.S. economy. The derivatives market would be hugely threatened. The truth is that we're going to have massive problems no matter what the Federal Reserve does now. If the Federal Reserve keeps on printing money, the financial system will become a massive joke to the rest of the planet. other nations will stop using our dollars and stop lending money to us. That would be disastrous. These are Michael Snyder's words. If the Federal Reserve stops printing money, the massive financial bubble that Wall Street is enjoying right now will burst, and we could have a financial crisis even greater than what we experienced in 2008. That would also be absolutely disastrous, meaning the Fed is darned if they do and darned if they don't. If they keep printing, we're just going to have trouble, although it may be postponed for a while. If they stop printing, we're going to get to the trouble right now. Which financial damnation do you suppose will strike most quickly? Will the Fed generate instantaneous trouble for the American people by stopping the printing of more money, or will they continue to print money in order to postpone as long as possible? And the answer, of course, is they're going to continue to print money. What will the Fed deserve? Print more? Stop printing? They'll keep on printing more fiat dollars. What will finally stop the Federal Reserve from printing more fiat dollars? Reason? America's long-term best interests? Or foreign pressure? And I think the answer is foreign pressure. Reason is irrelevant to the Federal Reserve. If anybody up there if they paid any attention to reason, if they were at all persuaded that reason and rational thought and logic and history should be any guide, we would never have had a fiat currency to begin with. We would still have an American dollar backed by gold or silver. All right? Everything since we went off gold and then off silver has been irrational. Reason is not persuasive or meaningful to the Federal Reserve. America's long-term interests, best interests, are irrelevant. They only care about the next election. But foreign pressure could threaten an immediate adverse impact on the U.S. economy and prospects for incumbents to be reelected in the AD 2014 election. What kind of foreign pressure? A refusal to use U.S. dollars in foreign trade. That's pressure. A refusal to stop accumulating U.S. dollars as assets. That's pressure. A universal abandonment of the U.S. dollar as the world currency would be ultimate pressure. A number of foreign nations have already signed foreign trade treaties whereby they agreed to use their own currencies without intervention of the U.S. dollar. That's already going on. They're trading oil and whatever, and they're not using dollars. And that's largely unprecedented since World War II. What else do we have? China has recently declared that it would no longer accumulate U.S. dollars as part of their financial reserves. All right, they're not going to accumulate. We've taken two big steps toward in the direction of eliminating the dollar as world reserve currency, and that's the only thing that's keeping it afloat, that the dollar still is perceived as world reserve currency. Once that disappears, once that title or status is lost, the dollar will be seen for what it is, intangible, having no tangible value, and the purchasing power of the dollar will drop dramatically. We may even see an episode of hyperinflation. And so the point in all of this, from my perspective, is that when the world realizes that the fiat dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, the fiat dollar may briefly explode in an episode of hyperinflation, and it will then follow the course of the former Confederate dollar into oblivion. Well, in any case, we are caught in a currency war right now. The dollar is threatened. They are trying to hold it together in order, in part, to hold up the stock market and keep Wall Street wealthy. But the end is, we know where this railroad track is going to end. We know what the final result is going to be. We know where we're headed on this. We just don't know how fast we're going to get there. But the end is going to be that the dollar is going to go down and be devalued enormously and will probably cease to exist in the foreseeable future. And I'm not talking about 20 years or even 10 years. We're talking about the next few years, and it could happen at any time. In theory, it's possible that the governments of the world, the International Monetary Fund and so on, the central banks, they can announce something extraordinary at any moment. All of a sudden, the dollar is bye-bye. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. What you got for people today, Melody?
We're going to continue the specials. Mint State 63, $20 St. Gaudens gold piece. Very beautiful coins. Very nice, bright, shiny gold mixed dates. Free Silver Eagle, free shipping, $1,550. And for the second special, we have the AU $5 Liberty, free Silver Eagle, free shipping for $485. If you combine the two, $1,995. So it's a pretty good special. You can have one or both. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188. We're going to continue the special throughout the year and through Christmas, so it will be available. Give us a call. If anybody would like to call us today, if you have a question, 800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Well, you know, Al, I think our problems are over. As far as our deficits and our budget with, you know, in the U.S., you had Senate Budget Chairman Patty Murray and House Budget Chairman Paul Ryan last night. They announced a budget deal that would set federal spending on domestic and defense programs at a little more than $1 trillion for both this fiscal year and next year. It would replace about $63 billion of the automatic budget cuts scheduled for 2014 and 2015, with the majority of the relief coming in the next 10 months. And to match the savings from those cuts, the deal would raise new non-tax revenue through a host of measures, including higher airline passenger security fees and increased federal worker contributions to their pensions, which we talked about that yesterday. So, you know, people are saying, well, at least you had two people come together, and they've come up and they made this proposal. It's here, but the big question is, what does it do? I mean, we have the problem that we have. I mean, this is like, again, cutting $10 off a $1 million loan. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I understand that. And in part, it's just juggling a new set of balls. That's all it is. They paint the balls. They used to be yellow. Now they're going to be red. They've got a new color for the balls they're juggling. But the truth of the matter is, and the fundamental truth, and this is not a small thing, and it's not just, you know, bizarre rhetoric or hyperbolism or whatever, hyperbole. It is true that the government is technically bankrupt, and not a little bit bankrupt, it's bankrupt big time. If I were as far in debt as the federal government, I would have been put in bankruptcy years ago. The government has been able to avoid that stigma, but the reality remains, government is bankrupt. I mean, the national debt, according to Congressional Budget Office, is over $200 trillion. Can't be paid. That means the government is bankrupt. And sooner or later, that reality is going to intrude on the world stage, on the American stage, and people who sit back and say, well, a government can't be bankrupt. Oh, yeah, it can. You watch and see. And when it breaks down, and when that reality, when that truth is perceived by the general public and the world at large, we are going to see some extraordinary events, and they're not going to be fun for anyone. But it is a fundamental reality. Government's bankrupt.
It is, and a couple of things that they didn't address: the unemployment benefits. It didn't extend the emergency unemployment benefits for the long-term jobless. And then we have the 1.3 million unemployed people that will be cut from those benefits at the end of the year. And you have yet another 850,000 that could fall off the rolls within the first 3 months of 2014. Medicare doctor payments, the deal didn't address what both parties say they want to do, figure out a way to prevent a big cut to Medicare physician pay. January 1st, reimbursement to these doctors who see Medicare patients are slated to be slashed by more than 24%, unless that is Congress chooses to renew the so-called doc fix. You have the long-term debt. It doesn't really move the needle, and that's what we were talking about, and the debt ceiling. The deal would help Congress avert this situation for a while, but we still have the debt ceiling situation. I think they say it's can be moved out to, what, March to April, I believe.
Well, I don't know.
So, I mean, those are the things.
Again,
put
it off. What difference does it make? What difference does 30 days make?
I know.
Right? And the fact that they're even quibbling over 30 days is evidence that they are in big trouble. They are trying to get around the fact that they're bankrupt. They don't have enough money to fulfill all of the promises that they've made. Those promises involve U.S. bonds. Those promises involve Medicare, Medicaid, and God knows, unemployment, and who knows what other government programs. These are all promises to pay, ultimately. Just like the fiat dollar, a promise to pay. They can't keep all the promises, and they're getting closer to that day by day, and they're fighting for what, a month at a time? You know, it's just going to be the perils of Pauline, and we're going to go through this we're going to see a number of these moments when we have another threat of a government shutdown, another debt ceiling issue. We're going to see episode after episode where they fight for 30 days and 60 days and 90 days, and all that tells you they are pretty close to the end of the line. So those of you that, you know, if you agree with that assessment, you need to protect yourself. If you haven't done so already, you need to protect yourself. Too many promises. They can't all be kept. There's not enough money, not enough resources, not enough of a tax base. There's no way they can keep the promises. The promises must be broken. That's what we're talking about right now when they're saying we're not going to extend unemployment. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas to those of you that are on long-term unemployment. Guess what? It's over. It's going to be over in another couple of weeks. You're going to start the new year with, you know, a new job if you can find one, or a new, maybe you can move into your folks' basement or something. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's simply evidence. The government is running out of cash. Another point to this, as the government becomes increasingly broke and more obviously more desperate for funds, people won't lend to the government anymore, with the exception of the Federal Reserve. They're not able to sell most of their treasuries except to the Federal Reserve. They're going to be looking for other sources of money. Those of you who are keeping your income in a bank account, for example, or a pension fund, before this next year is out, you are going to have cause to wonder whether that is a sensible idea or not. Government's going to understand. It's just like Willie Sutton. You ask Willie Sutton back in the 30s, why do you rob banks? A world famous bank robber back during the Great Depression. And he said, because that's where the money is. And you could say, you could ask Obama, before this is done, you'll be able to ask Obama, why did you raid the pension funds? And he's going to say, because that's where the money is. Why did you seize bank accounts? Because that's where the money is. It's easy. It's all in one place. You don't have to go around and pick up a coin here and a coin there. And all the money is concentrated in one place. It's easy to seize that. There is a strong probability, not a guarantee, but a high probability, that before the year is out, there's going to be serious questions about seizing people's bank accounts, pension accounts. And it's already, it's not, this isn't a prediction per se. It's a prediction that it's going to happen, but it's all, this issue is already being considered in mainstream media. They're talking about seizing pensions, if you care to read and look for it. It's not big time just yet, but it's going to happen. What do you think is happening in Detroit? The biggest thing you're going to do in their bankruptcy up there is essentially seize the pensions of the former Detroit employees. Now, they're going to say it's not a seizure, but it's just a bankruptcy because we can't pay them. Well, what's the difference? You know, if I've got a bank account or a pension account, and it's good for, say, $100,000 in the particular account, if they won't give it to me, it's been seized. If they say, oh, no, we didn't seize it, we just went bankrupt, I still don't get it. I still don't get my $100,000. What's the difference between an outright seizure and a bankruptcy? The reality is the creditor, and that would be me and Melody and anyone in the audience who has your money in one of those digital currency files, the creditor loses his income. You can put a bunch of different labels on it, but it's no fun if you're the creditor.
You know, Al, I think you said something. It's going to happen time and time again. We're going to be going through all these the same things over and over. We're going to have this situation, that situation. You know, they'll come up with some stupid, you know, saving proposal, and, you know, just in order to keep things flowing, just in order to keep things going. But they never, ever fix anything. They can't fix it. It plays out. The day of reckoning is coming. And
how late do you think that reckoning can come?
They have a lot of power. They have a lot of ability to stretch it far beyond our imagination. I mean, we've been talking about this for how many years, wondering how long they can keep it going. So you can never underestimate their power. I always thought perhaps it would be some sort of, you know, outside event because you can underestimate their power. So perhaps they could keep things going until some sort of an event. I'm not even so sure that will happen anymore. I believe the system will just collapse under its own weight. And I think we're very close.
I think we are too. And I think the big question is whether it happens before or shortly after the 2014 elections.
I've been saying that for months now. They're going to keep this thing going to 2014. The Democrats are going to get in, and then Katie barred the door. It will happen, and it will happen quick. If Democrats get in there, that's one thing we can say. It will happen quick. Republicans get in there, they'll drag
it
out. It'll happen slow.
But it's going to happen.
I told somebody today, I might just go vote for Democrats just to get it over with.
Yeah, I understand. Put them in office and let them have it.
The bad thing about the Democrats, the first things they'll do is they'll come for the guns. That'll be the first thing they do. Now, maybe that'll be the event. Maybe that'll be the event that... but anyway, we'll know when we get there.
Here's something. I've got an article here on guns. All right, go ahead.
But we have a lot of time between now and the elections of 2014.
If it lasts that long,
we talk about it, if they can hold it together. I mean, they certainly can manipulate the unemployment numbers. I mean, they continue to bring down those percentages on just lies. People believe it. It affects, I don't know what it affects, but who knows? But you're right, Al. It can happen any day.
That's right. And it's not, we just keep on getting closer and closer. It's strange. It surprised me that it's lasted this long, absolutely.
You know how I know we're getting closer, Al? Because people are far more distant from the situation than I've ever imagined. I cannot imagine being 10 years ago, if you would have told me of the situation where we are today, even after coming through 2008 and our budget and everything that is happening today, and to see people running to the stock market and those that have knowledge and are aware of what is happening, I would have said absolutely no way. I would think that this would be the busiest time in the gold and silver market than ever before, than even prior to, during 08, 09, and 10. That's how I know we're closer to the end, because people are looking the other way, and that's when it always strikes.
Well, I understand. I understand what you're saying. Again, no one can predict exactly when this is going to happen, but it does seem to be getting closer. We're not getting further away from this. One of the things you can look at, you can't deny, the government has poured an enormous sum of currency, allegedly, into the economy by means of quantitative easing 1, 2, and 3, and also Operation Twist. They've been pumping money, and the economy is not measurably better today than it was in 2008. They've had almost no positive effect other than to sustain the problem. All right, you got to give them credit. All right, they've managed to hold this thing together for 5 years when perhaps it should have just blown up in everybody's face back in 2008.
And they've held it together a lot longer than 5 years.
Well, I understand, but it was literally within hours. Some people said it was within hours in 2008 of when we might have had, the whole thing might have just burst into, exploded into chaos. Could have been. Then they claim within hours of that happening. You think about that, and you think how close we were. We were sitting on a room full of dynamite, and the fuse burned down, almost got to the point where it lit, but it didn't. The dynamite is still there. We're still in that room. They managed to, stop the problem for 5 years right now, but we are still surrounded by the dynamite, and those of you who are sensible are going to try to protect yourself with as much gold as you can lay hands on. Because when this goes, all of your paper debt instruments are going to be impaired. Not every one of them is going to be worthless, but in my estimation, 80% of the value of paper debt instruments is going to be lost. I think that's a certainty. I think it's more likely it's going to be 90%. If you've got a bond that's worth $100,000, the purchasing power before this is all over, on average, may be about $10,000. you're going to lose your assets if you're keeping them in paper. And I think that's in terms of dollars, stocks, bonds, pension funds, bank accounts. If it's a paper promise, they can't all be kept. Most must be refuted one way or another. You can't trust them anymore.
I agree with you. I think the numbers are going to be that big. Hmm? But you know what? Even if you look at a 50%.
I agree.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's enormous.
10% is too much, people, when you have something that you can do to keep it from happening.
All right, we're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I want to talk just briefly. Melody mentioned she thought that maybe the government attempting to seize people's guns could be an event that triggers some sort of economic problems, chaos, political chaos. He was thinking about the seizure of guns, and that may be true, but here's an article that we acquired just today, and it reports that Chambersburg, Pennsylvania residents voted Mayor Pete Lejeune, Democrat, out of office on November 5th after he signed up to be part of former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's organization called Mayors Against Illegal Guns. The anti-gun influence of Bloomberg made New York Mayor Bloomberg made Pennsylvania's Chambersburg hunters and gun owners feel like they were under attack. And the combination of Bloomberg and Washington trying to regulate gun ownership with more and more background checks caused Chambersburg residents to react the only respectful way they could, and that was by voting out of office those who were infringing on their way of life. In other words, the government tried to attack the gun owners, the little government, city of Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and the gun owners counterattack by voting the incumbents out of office. The new mayor-elect, Darren Brown, Republican, says that once he is sworn into office on January 2014, the very, very first thing he'll do is get Chambersburg off the mayor's against illegal guns list. All right? Point I'm trying to make is that we've had three Colorado state legislators voted out of office or forced to resign by recall initiatives in Colorado, and now a Pennsylvania mayor is voted out by pro-gun rights activists. Now, I'm not surprised to see that sort of thing in Colorado. I'm not surprised to see anything like that here in Texas. But I am surprised to see that gun rights activists are even having an effect in Pennsylvania. That's also from my Texas perspective, sitting here and looking at Pennsylvania, said that's surprising. And so I'm wondering, are guns beginning to replace Social Security as the third rail in politics? They talked about Social Security in the past, and they've referred to it as the third rail, meaning if you try to touch any of the funds in Social Security that are supposed to be going to the senior citizens, you're going to be run out of office. You don't dare mess with Social Security. We don't hear so much about Social Security today, but we hear a lot about guns, and I'm wondering, have they become the third rail? And if they have, what are the chances that government is going to try to seize guns at any time in the foreseeable future? Is that going to happen? Is that likely or not likely? Here's another article we've got on bitcoins. This was written by Gary North, and he reports, and the headline is $100 million in stolen bitcoins. Sorry about that. A thief has stolen $100 million in bitcoins. The exchange that allowed this has gone bust. There is no FDIC insurance. There is no way to find the thief. They may catch him when he tries to unload the bitcoins, but that does not get them back to their owners. Who's in charge here? Algorithms and formulas. It's all secret. You say it's all anonymous. There are no contracts. There are no courts. Investors who are not victims shrug their shoulders. $100 million here, $100 million there. It's a cost of doing business. Someone else's cost. No problem. Easy come, easy go. Here today, gone tomorrow. Picky, picky, picky. Look, this is a mania, said one anonymous investor. Manias are not affected by bad news until the day they collapse. I'm in this for the short haul, meaning I'm in the Bitcoin business for the short haul. There's a point to all of this, and it illustrates how difficult it may be to spend $100 million worth of Bitcoins after they've been stolen. And the reason is that each Bitcoin includes a pedigree, a transaction history that leads all the way back through every individual who's ever owned that particular Bitcoin. It traces it all the way back to when the Bitcoin was originally released to the public. And therefore, you can't spend the Bitcoin without your name going on the list. And therefore, if you spend the Bitcoin that you've stolen, you're going to reveal your identity. Ultimately, you're going to reveal your identity to authorities that are going to be able to find you. And there's a problem. Now, some people would say that's an advantage. There's a certain amount of security in that Bitcoin. But you may be able, because it's all digital, you can do anything you want. Sooner or later, someone's going to find a way to eliminate the track. All right? The last guy that you robbed, you're going to delete him from the list of Bitcoin names, and it's going to appear that you just have legitimate access to a Bitcoin. But because Bitcoins are digital, they have no intrinsic value or even tangible existence. If you have a competitor, let's suppose you had $1 million in Bitcoins saved up. If you have a competitor or an angry spouse who knows how to get into your computer, hack into your computer, your Bitcoins can be made to disappear, just vaporize. It's not like having even a piece of paper where you can burn it and you have an ash left over. And you might be able to assemble the ash to prove, you know, what you had. Maybe you can take those ashes and you can make something out of them. You make these digital coins disappear and they're gone forever. They're never coming back. No one can find them. They've just vaporized, ceased to exist. And it's really quite amazing. And it's that's not a recommendation for Bitcoin. Sooner or later, folks will recognize that Bitcoin disabilities are significant and therefore abandon the Bitcoin mania. Those holding Bitcoins at the time will lose their assets. And, you know, the lesson here is if you want to maintain your wealth through what may be very difficult times, you will want to store your wealth in a form that has a tangible reality. And there is nothing more tangible than gold. There's farmland and tools, and there's other things that are also tangible, but tangible and liquid, gold. It's the way to go. If you're going to trust in bitcoins, you're going to trust in paper, you are trusting in things that just can't ultimately be sustained. So, what do you think, Melody? Is bitcoins, or how many million dollars in bitcoins are you going to buy this?
not very many, but... You know, it's interesting, though, Al, too. I mean, anybody who is holding bitcoins, considering the run that they have, if you don't sell, I don't know why anybody would want to hold on to them. I mean, they had a heck of a run. Get out.
Yeah, no, take the profit.
But
take
you know what? Most people wait until something goes up before they get in. Very few people get in at the bottom. And but now
nobody wants to sell at the top.
Nobody wants to sell at the top,
which is exactly contrary to the formula we talk about on the program on a regular basis. You want to get rich, you buy low and you sell high. And that means when you've made a profit, take it. All right. And people are sitting here, oh, no, Bitcoin's been up to $1,000 a coin. I don't know what they are today. I have no idea. But they've been as high as $1,000 a coin in the last week. I have no idea where they are today.
Well, they were much higher.
Well, all right, fine. And people are saying, oh, they're going to $5,000, $10,000, $100,000. Who knows what numbers they're putting on there. But as they hang on and it goes higher and higher and higher.
That's the funny thing, Al.
In jeopardy.
I don't see... I haven't seen, maybe I just, because I wasn't looking, predictions of where Bitcoin is going to go. I don't see any predictions, which in part should concern anyone who is holding them, because no one really knows how to analyze Bitcoins. Because it's just, you know, I don't think you can analyze a fad.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things about it. It's not just a fad, it's an intangible. I mean, I could analyze a hula hoop back in the day. We can figure out the cost of plastic and marketing and there's things. This is something completely
different. Yeah.
Rational. This is
it's air. You can even analyze air.
It's maybe not even air. It's kind of like the war games that the kids play on the computers. How do you analyze those war games on the computers? Nobody's actually been shot. No bullets are being expended. No one really has a rifle. The whole thing is imaginary, and that's what bitcoins have become. That's what they always were. Just imaginary. It's an imaginary money. You know, do you want to store your wealth in the form of an imaginary money? I don't think so. It doesn't make good sense. And sooner or later, people are going to learn that lesson. They're going to learn it by means of common sense, or they're going to learn it by means of hard knocks. But they're going to learn it. And the day is coming when people look back on bitcoins, they'll talk about it the same way we talk about the 2000, the millennium computer program that was going to shut down the whole Western world. All right. In retrospect, I guess it didn't, did it? This will be another silliness before.
I still believe Y2K had a purpose. Didn't come out the way it did, but Y2K united the world by computers. I mean, that was I talked to many, many business people who told me they had to spend so much money they didn't have in order to upgrade their computers, because a lot of the reports were coming from government agencies. You know, that there'd be problems. They were forced by, you know, insurance agents. We were being forced by the insurance companies that they represented to make sure that they were compliant with their computers. And a lot of money was spent. And that, I believe, was a big part, maybe not the only part, but a very big part of how everyone had a computer. I mean, everyone had a computer. We were connected at that point in time. And I believe that's what was all about Y2K. Yes, the lights didn't go out. Things that they, all these kinds of crazy things that they talked about and didn't happen. But I do believe there was a darker motive for it.
Well, it may be. You never know.
I know. And not a maybe. It was.
Entirely possible, but again, hard to prove. A lot of things we know we can't prove.
Sure, there's a lot. You can look at the markets. You can look at the tech bubble that happened. You can, leading up to that and afterwards, you can see you can see how it all has transformed since then. People got hooked on computers. And they've been able to introduce the phones. People have been hooked to phones. We got a question coming in. Let's see if we can get to it. Since Ukraine suffered Holocaust under the Soviet Union, where 10 million Ukrainians died of starvation, why would not EU help them in today's problems which they face?
Well, charity is something we all recommend. I think it's a great idea that you people give money to some people. Myself, I'm a little bit I'm a little tight right now, so I won't be able to do it. It's just part of human nature. We talk about charity and so on. We're not too inclined to engage in it. We would be more than happy to elect congressmen. We'll take money from other people, other taxpayers, and give it to special interests that we approve of, but we don't want to give that money ourselves. European Union is not inclined to part with its money if it doesn't absolutely have to. And
the
European Union is not in strong
money.
Circumstances. They don't necessarily want to wind up being the recipients, being one of these people that tin cups and, hey, will somebody please give me something? And part of the way you avoid being the man with the tin cup and hoping for charity is you have to take care of yourself. There's a little bit of charity begins at home. And you've got to sit back and say, what can I do to take care of myself? What can I do to take care of my community, my nation? What can I do to make sure we at least get through what may be a very difficult time? And as people, on an individual basis, if you want to follow that analogy, you're going to sit back and say, one of the things I can do to protect myself and my family is going to get myself a money, not a currency, a money that will actually withstand difficult times. So, in the worst case scenario, I don't have to be out there with a tin cup hoping that charity will flow from some other nation. I mean, who is going to give America charity? There may be some nations sit back and say, gee, we're having a hard time. Help us, help us. Okay, fine. Who is going to help us if push comes to shove? And if you're not prepared, I don't think you're going to find any charity coming from China or Russia or Europe or Africa or South America. I think you're going to find a bunch of people laughing and joking. All right? And they'll think it's funny. And if you want to avoid being on the charity rolls yourself, one of the things you'll want to do, protect yourself as best you can. And it's unfortunate, but perhaps we're coming into a world where it's every man for himself. There's too many promises out there. Promises can't all be kept. Many of us are keeping these promises and treating them as wealth. They're not. Right? If time is coming, you're going to have to take care of yourself. And when you do that, you're going to get yourself some gold, silver, tools, land, something tangible, and stay away from paper. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.